This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge
105 Radio. And it's time for our second guest of the day. It's really great to welcome back into the studio Angela Hunt from To The Moon and Back Foster Care Agency. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Neil.
Long time.
For inviting us.
No, long time no see. It's great
Absolutely.
To get a catch up. Hello, Phil stood outside with teas. Phil, right. You can bring the teas in. Right.
Get our priorities right.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, just remind us what it is that you do, because it's been a while since we last saw you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Angela Hunt. I'm the Managing Director of To The Moon and Back Foster Care. We're based in Cambridge at King's Hedges at the Allia Future Business Centre, but we cover the whole of Cambridgeshire, Hertfordshire. We're just branching into North Essex as well now. And our job really is to recruit superb foster carers who can look after the enormously growing young people who are needing care in and around our area. So the idea is that we can keep people in foster care within Cambridgeshire. So for local people, we want local kids so they don't have to go out of the area. And
right.
Sadly, there's a lot having to go out of the area currently.
I was going to say, so what is the situation like? When I last saw you, it sounded fairly desperate. The numbers seemed horrendous.
It's quite interesting, and there's 90, that's 90, children coming into care every day across England and Wales. And as a result, we're just overwhelmed within the care sector for children. And foster carers, there's no end of need. You know, we were already, I think probably a year ago, it was 8,500, and we're probably now more 9,000 shortage. So as you can tell, that the system's overwhelmed. We're trying our best to find fantastic people who want to do fantastic things for some of these young people who are in care through no fault of their own.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Here's a stupid question, and I apologise for it in advance. What would be your typical case? Why would somebody be in foster care?
Yeah, remarkably, the children that come into the care system are often struggling with abusive and neglectful relationships at home.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, a lot of the austerity measures have meant that a lot of the support that was in there for families, for example, where they were struggling themselves, that's no longer available. So a lot of children are having to come into care because we can't actually keep them in their own home. And they're not safe. So children have generally, when they're coming into the care system, have seen levels of abuse and neglect that we can't really imagine. Unless you've been through it yourself, you can't imagine what they've gone through.
Okay, so this is why it's important that you're looking for high quality foster carers, I guess, because you
absolutely.
Can't just keep shoving these kids from pillar to post with people who look after them for a while. When someone looks at doing fostering then, what sort of period how does it work? I mean, I've never done it, I've got friends who have, but tell me about how it works.
Fostering is one of those it's a job, really, I guess, to a lot of people.
Yes.
It's more than a vocation. It's kind of a 24/7 role. You have to have certain qualities and that we're always looking out for. So predominantly, when we're asked, we say that somebody who is genuinely warm, genuinely caring, keen to play and be playful with the children, have a warm heart. Be prepared to go to the moon and back for them as well, because the children who have come into care have had so many struggles that you have to be prepared to fight on their behalf and negotiate, you know, particularly in education. Education can be a very difficult thing for young people in care. And as a result, you've got to be prepared to get what's right for them, like you would for your own children.
I was going to say.
We always say be very curious. You know, it's important that you are curious, not make assumptions about these children as well, and probably try and learn from them too, because they bring things that you wouldn't ordinarily expect into your life.
Well, I was going to say, they've got life stories that some of it is going to be presumably quite harrowing as well. They're going to have some experiences that are going to make you into a better person, but also some of it must be really quite upsetting. Would these be people, typical fosterers, would they have had or have children of their own? Because that's nevertheless a different thing, is it, bringing up your own kids and then inheriting a child who presumably could be any age.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's great differences there, isn't it?
The experience of foster carers is so diverse, as are the children that we provide care for. So they come from all walks of life. You don't have to have your own house. You have to be able to rent. But if you're renting, you should have a landlord's permission, but you don't have to have your own house. You can be gay, you can be single. There's no real things that prevent you from fostering. The important thing is that you've got the right attitude.
Mm.
One key thing that you have to have is a spare bedroom. A lot of people who have been suggesting to us that they'd love to foster, for example, babies, and that they think that they can stay in their own room, that's not that's not feasible. That's something that the regulations won't allow us to do. So we have to make sure that when we're assessing foster carers, that they do have to have as a bare minimum a spare bedroom. And the people who come into fostering or are starting to inquire about fostering, they probably don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
So part of the service that we and other fostering agencies should be providing is providing a public service so that we can dispel some of the myths. So, for example, fostering, you do get paid to do this. It's not as much as we'd all like it to be, but it's what's available. And those allowances do allow for certain things, and it's tax-free. So the government give a tax incentive to foster carers as well. It's a payment per child. You get paid whilst the child is actually with you. So it's obviously some people might not want to work, but want to be fostering. So they'll not work while they're fostering. Others, for example, will want to continue working. And I think there's probably more of a push now that fostering agencies have got to be very flexible.
Right. So one partner, one half of the relationship could be working and have a full-time job somewhere else doing something else, and that's still okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Both foster carers can actually work.
Oh, right.
It's about trying to ensure that the support network around them is so feasible that if the child is, for example, for any point of the time out of school, that you've got enough backup to be able to ensure that they're safe and that they feel secure. And it's not necessarily a good idea, for example, when you've got a child in care, perhaps when you would do what you do with your own children is you'd put them into a nursery, for example, or you'd find an after-school club. That's not always feasible for children in care, that's not suitable for them. They need to feel
secure. It's another destabilising thing, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So we always say there's no thing that we won't be prepared to discuss. You know, people are different. We have to be flexible. We want it to work, and we're not going to set people up to fail. You know, when we go through the assessment process, we'll analyse all of that with them very honestly as well.
And talk us through the assessment process. How does it work if people are listening to this thinking, do you know what? Yeah, let's do something for 2019. Let's make a difference to a child, a young person's life.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, my colleague, Alison, who's our person who does all of our assessments at the moment, would say that a lot of people have said to her that it's free therapy. Yes. So it's quite an intensive process. We're not going to pretend, but we have to be absolutely sure that when we're placing the most vulnerable of our society with these children, that they are in safe hands and that they can feel secure. So there's certain checks that have to be made, and there's two parts to the assessment process. So the first part is all of the assessments that we do, which would consist of DBS checks, for example. Mm-hmm. It's a very basic, but we need to know that you've not had any criminal offences. And then it goes right through to your health, making sure that we've made local authority checks so that we know, for example, that there's no issues with that person and children's services, for example, as well. And the second part of the assessment looks into your capabilities. So it asks an awful lot of questions, and we learn an awful lot about those people, and we check into their backgrounds. So we would consult with people who they've worked with, we would consult with people who they know as their friends, so that we can actually get a real true feeling of who they are. So it can be quite intrusive. People see it as being quite intrusive, but if you speak to the foster carers who we've had recently have gone through the system, they would say it was a lot easier than they were expecting it to be, and actually quite enjoyable.
Right. So in terms of comparing that to an adoption agency, is it very similar in that way?
It's very similar, yeah. I mean, adoption and fostering are completely different, but the process is very similar, because at the end of the day, it's about ensuring that the families are safe and can endure the process, because part of the process is making sure that they've got resilience as well, that they can cope with the pressures that fostering and adoption would bring, for example, because it's no good as saying, yeah, you'll be great, we'll place some children with you, and then within a week they realise, oh, actually, it's not for me.
Yes.
And then that child has to go
back
through,
again,
you know, a second process, which is hard for them. So when we do it, we do it really well.
And when you've been approved, what then happens? How do you get married up with the child?
So the approval process is very much about, we do the assessment. The assessment then has to go to an independent review panel. And whilst we set up the panel, these people are completely independent, and they decide whether they're actually fit for approval. So they go through another little hurdle first. And that again is part of the rigorousness of assessing these people and making sure these children are in a safe placement afterwards. And once that's finished and they're totally approved, then it's about working with them and working with the local authorities in our area to determine, first of all, what children are being referred and how suitable that child will be with this family. So it's, matching is very, very important. One of the things that we had on our recent Ofsted inspection was that we match very well.
Right.
So it's very important, because part of the outcome measurement is that a child stays longer with the placement, and the longer that child can stay with the placement, big thumbs up, because they've got consistency. And it's not unusual for children to move very frequently into different placements, which that's part of why Alison and I set up this organisation, because we could see that that's not a good outcome for any child, and as a result we wanted to do things differently. So we follow this criteria that we've set ourselves almost to the letter to ensure that when we get to matching and get to making a placement of a child, that it's a long term thing and that child feels safe and the foster carers feel in a good place and can go to the moon and back for the children in their care.
And when you talk about for a long time, let's talk about the age ranges. So supposing a 10-year-old was to go into you were to foster a 10-year-old, would that be until the, you know, could it be until they're 18, or when does it stop?
It could well be. I mean, there's a lot of different types of fostering. So short-term and long-term fostering. That's determined by the care plans that are set by the local authorities.
Right.
So the local authorities will determine whether a child is for short-term fostering with a view potentially to go back to their own family. So reunification with their family is a great outcome if that's possible. Obviously, we all want that to happen. And we would work to that care plan to ensure that that happens. So that might be a short period of time. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be a year, but we're still working towards reunification. Where there's no reunification possibilities and a child is needing long-term fostering, once that's determined, then that could go on to post-18, because there's something that we do beyond 18. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, my children, they weren't
they
fit
never
to leave
home
at 18. and it's not fair to push a child to leave home if they're not ready.
No, you're expecting that same almost parental support that we're really
absolutely
effectively mimicking, aren't we, right the way through?
I mean, that said, some young people decide, actually, do you know what, I do want to go at 18, I'm ready. And our job then is to make sure that they are going into a safety area and that we still monitor them even beyond that time, so that they're not entirely on their own. But it's not uncommon for children who have left years and years and years to ring the foster carers and say, I've just moved into a new flat, my washing machine's not working, what do I do?
But that's great, isn't it?
Fantastic,
because
that's how it should be.
For the people who've done the fostering, if they're thinking of you as let's use the phrase mum and dad, but if they're the first person that they pick, if you're the first person they pick the phone up to, that's a good thing, isn't
Absolutely. it? Absolutely. We love it. I mean, and the foster carers love it as well, you know, because you once you say goodbye to a child, I think a lot of foster carers, there's a struggle there. Whilst you know you've done a great job, as you do with your own kids when they leave home, you know you've done a good job of getting them ready for independence. But when it happens, it's still quite a trauma for
tugs
you
at the
to say goodbye. Yeah, so it's lovely to think that they can still ring you and still talk to you and still think about you, which is wonderful. And then there's also these younger children. So younger children might come into the care system for a short space of time and then may go on to adoption. So as a foster carer, our job might be to actually just ensure that smoothness of that adoption and prepare that child for adoption. So that's a short-term issue as well. And there's one other type that we're asked to, there's lots of referrals coming to us for, and that's for parent and child. So where perhaps it's usually a young mother would have a baby potentially and might be quite young and not really know how to look after that baby, then there's a foster package where that young person and that baby will go into a foster care, and that foster carer will help them look after that baby and start to learn the skills that are required for them to go into independence and care for that baby as you'd expect them to.
And how much ongoing support do people get if they say okay, because you think it sounds like a great idea and it sounds, you know, like you really can, you can significantly change people's lives, both the young children and, in this case, as you say, a young adult who, for whatever reason, is finding themselves in that position. What's the ongoing support like?
for foster carers. It's got to be absolutely amazing. You know, I mean, that's the need for someone like us as an agency. Our recruitment is not the stop point. Our recruitment is the starting point.
Right.
You know, it's our job to train foster carers who are fostering with us, to make sure that they're constantly updated with information and to continually support them, especially when challenges do occur. I mean, our job is to try and preempt challenges occurring and then supporting them to stop it, so working very proactively. But our role, we allocate a supporting social worker. That social worker role is key to the success of our foster carers, and that support comes from that particular area. So, you know, we were delighted when Ofsted recognised that our support for our foster carers was fantastic, and that was great because that's exactly what we set it out to be. We've put well-being of foster carers right at the centre of everything that we do, and it's a difficult job sometimes. You know, there are times when you're really tested, and so we have to be there and be able to respond quickly, but build such a great relationship around that foster carer that they feel supported. When you ask a foster carer what support feels like, I think sometimes they find it quite difficult to explain. We would say that it's about the power of the relationship. It's feeling secure, it's feeling trusted, but knowing that someone's there to catch you when you fall.
So would that be I'm thinking perhaps, you know, things can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can, especially at school, they can fall in with the wrong lot and all this sort of thing. At what point can they call the you guys in to help with, not disciplinary, you know what I'm trying to say, but just to help actually manage a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, our job is really to empower the foster carer to be the best that they can be. And there's a support team around the foster carer that is phenomenal, really. You know, there's a lot of people there that we can call upon at any time. Sometimes it's us that has to do that and coordinate that on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the foster carers are quite capable and they want to do it for themselves. And our job is to just make sure that we do it the way they want it to be done. So they're the expert around the child, as we perceive them. And as a result, you know, they know that child probably far better than we do. We might know sometimes what works doesn't always work. So our job is to actually work with them very closely, and together we decide on the best course of action. And that involves the school team, health team. You know, in some cases it can involve the mental health team as well, predominantly. So we have to coordinate that. That's quite challenging because resources are limited.
I was gonna say, it's stretched anyway.
But it's that's the great thing when you have fantastic outcomes for a young person. It's wonderful to actually look back and think, we did that, we created that, and that child's been inspired as a result of what we've done, and will go on, despite their difficult start in life, have achieved, got an aspiration and may go on to achieve great things. So it's fundamental. You have to be able to be a team player, I think, as a foster carer. You can't do it on your own.
No.
We have a great saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Okay.
And it's true. It's a group of people around that child that will enable them to succeed and fulfil their potential in life.
And if people are listening in thinking, do you know what, that was what I was looking to that's what I'm looking to do with my life, that's my call, what should they do? There's obviously, as you're saying, there's obviously a need around here.
Yeah.
So this isn't like, oh, join a waiting list, we'll give you a ring when we're ready.
No,
you've got an immediate need now for people to do this, to step up to the mark. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So what's the next step for people?
If people are interested and they want, they can have a look at our website for a start, which is to the moon and back fostering.com. They can give us an email, hello@tothemoonandbackfostering.com. They can call us. We've got several numbers, all of which are on our website, but 01223 800 420. We're more than happy to just have a chat, you know, answer any questions.
You're not signing up for something, is it?
People are worried that once they do ring us or contact us, there's a child, you know, arriving on the doorstep tomorrow, that it's a long process, and we can go as slowly as people want it to go. It's more about trying to ensure that they fully understand, that they get a chance to actually ask any questions. We provide them with lots of information, and then basically we back off and say, you have a look at it and you make sure that you want to do this. And ultimately, it's about them just, we're a public service. You know, our job is to inform people. There's so many myths out there. And we find that once we meet people, we can dispel most of those myths. We have got an advent calendar, actually, that we've just launched, which people can subscribe to. So by going onto our website, there's a subscription actually on there to join our advent calendar. And there's lots of information coming up every day behind each door. And we're finding that people who are thinking about foster caring are finding it really useful.
Well, it's in bite-sized chunks that way, isn't it? I mean, last thing you want is a huge, great pack that lands on your mat about an inch thick, and you think, really? I've got to go through this, have I?
Yeah,
you want bite-sized chunks to start with, because you might pull out at the early stage. You might go, actually, do you know what? No. But bite-sized chunks, and you think, oh, I can do this, I can do that. Didn't know. So that's a nice, easy way to get people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a Facebook website as well as our website, and we do Twitter, and there's lots of information that people can get through there as well. It's basically, if you want anything, just ask us, because we would love to talk to people. You know, there's no such thing as a daft question in our book either, and it's not, you're not committed by just asking. We'd be delighted to talk to anybody about fostering.
Well, let's make 2019 the year we get those waiting lists down. That'd be a great thing to do. Yeah, Angela, it's been wonderful to see you. Great
and
to catch
you.
Up.
You Thank
sound
you, very much.
You sound to me like you're as busy as you were the day we first met, but there we go. Well, that's Angela Hunt. She's the founder of To The Moon and Back Fostering Agency, and you can find out more on her website. That website again
is tothemoonandbackfostering.com.
Lovely, Angela. Lovely to see you again.